بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين مولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، respected brothers, sisters, respected scholars, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. ما شاء الله. Some very enlightening words by Sheikh Haytham. As Sheikh Haytham said, believers should be people who have a vision. There's a saying that the best use of one's life is that it is utilized in a manner, and that a person does an action which the action outlives his own existence. So he does an action, after he's dead, the action outlives his existence. In the Islamic narrative, we call this a sadaqatul jariyah. That you do an action, you've left this dunya, but you are still getting reward for that action, although you lie in the depth of your grave. And see, people have aspirations. Everybody has aspirations. The Prophet ﷺ once spoke about man's aspirations, and he drew a box. The Prophet ﷺ drew a box, and then he drew another line which started from outside the box and finished on the other side of the box. And then from this line, he took out other lines which came out of the box. And the Prophet ﷺ said that the first line, the long line, is man's life. The box is man's aspirations. The box is death. And the other lines which come out of the box are man's aspirations. Man dies, but he still has these aspirations. He still aspires. He had all these large, huge aspirations. But death befalls him, and he doesn't reach these aspirations. As a poet says, he says, "Kam hasaratin fi batun al-maqabir." He said, if you go to the graveyard and you ask the people who lay in the grave, they would tell you about all the aspirations that they had, their desires that they had. If only Allah had given them more time, they had thought about what they're going to do tomorrow and the next week. And they had a huge vision for their business, for their career. But little did they know that before they would fulfill their aspiration, death would befall them. And this is my and your reality. That we have all these aspirations. And the vast majority of our aspirations are actually dunyawi aspirations. So we're thinking about our career. We're thinking about our business. We're thinking about our houses, which area we live in, and hopefully where we'll be living in 15 and 20 years. But there's another abode which we often forget, which, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is either a garden from the gardens of Jannah or it is a pit from the pits of Jahannam. And that is our grave. And Luqman the wise once said, he said, work in the dunya according to the time that you're going to live in it. And work for the hereafter according to the time that you're going to live in it. How long are me and you going to live in this dunya? But we dissipate our existence in the pursuit of this dunya and our eternal abode in which me and you will reside. How much do we work for that? And this is stupidity. This is nothing short of stupidity. If I said to you, I had prepared 2 weeks to come to Slough. For 2 weeks I've been preparing. But I went abroad recently to Malaysia and I had prepared an hour or 2 hours for my travel to Malaysia. You think this guy's foolish. He's warped. He went to Malaysia, he prepared 2 hours, and to come to Slough Mubarak, Slough Sharif, he prepared for 2 weeks. You think I got my priorities wrong? Then I ask you, my dear respected brothers and sisters, the amount of time that we work for a temporary abode like the dunya, compared to a permanent abode, the akhirah, then are we not stupid? Do we not have our priorities warped? And this is why it's very important for believers to have a vision. What is your vision? You know, people have business. They have business plans. 100-year business plan. He'll expire and the plan's still there. 50-year business plan. But what is my and your aspiration? And as Sheikh Haytham said, that we have these aspirations, and even if we don't attain these aspirations, Allah will reward us for our intention, if it's sincere, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave. He gave these people, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, he gave them a vision. He gave them an aspiration. And this is what the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they aspired for. Before Islam, you know the history of the Arabs before Islam. Two main superpowers never wanted to rule over that part of the Arab peninsula. The Romans, the Byzantines, and the Persians were not really interested in that part of the world. And then came to them the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he gave them an aspiration. He gave them an impetus. He motivated them until these people became the best of creation after the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam to walk on the face of this earth. Why? Because he gave them a vision. And this is what we are lacking. We are lacking an Islamic vision. We are lacking an Islamic aspiration. He gave them aspiration which changed the world. On the Battle of Khandaq, this was also known as the Battle of Ahzab, the Battle of the Confederates. All the enemies of Islam, they gathered and they marched on to Medina. And the Muslims were a fraction of their number. It was midwinter. Many of the Sahaba and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadn't eaten for days. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu came to the Messenger of Allah and they complained about hunger. And they removed their garment and they had a stone tied to their stomach. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam removed his garment and he had 2 stones tied to his stomach. And then whilst they were digging the trenches, they came to a boulder. And they couldn't break this boulder. So they came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and he struck this boulder. And a third of it broke. And there was this huge spark. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allahu Akbar. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam struck it again. And a third of it broke. And there was a huge spark. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allahu Akbar. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam struck it the third time. And it broke into pieces, small pieces. And there was a spark. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allahu Akbar. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhum asked, O Messenger of Allah, the spark, the Allahu Akbar, what was it? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when I struck it the first time, Allah showed me that a day would come that the Muslims would take the palaces of Yemen. And when I struck it the second time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed me that a day would come that we would take the Byzantine palaces of Sham. And when I struck it the third time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed me that the day would come that we would take the White Palace in Medine of the superpower of the day, the Persians. And this was a reality. And the Munafiqeen began to say, look at this man. He's promising them that they will become the superpower of the day, and one of us is scared to go and relieve himself. But within a very short time, because the Messenger of Allah gave the Sahaba this aspiration, he gave them this vision. And in a very short time, in the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, the Muslims became the superpower of the day. Why? Because the people had an aspiration. They were motivated by this deen. They were motivated for the akhirah. And this is why they made a change. They had a vision. And also with that vision, they had a scope. They had a scope. They were motivated for the sake of deen, but they had this huge scope. The problem is today that you see the Muslim community, those who are motivated, their vision is this. Their vision isn't this, it's this. What makes many youngsters and many even elders feel good is that they will be speaking about issues of differences. And this is the scope of their vision. So they're still talking about, you know, should you be joining the feet in salah? Should you be placing your hands on your chest or above your navels or below your navels? 1400 years and you still haven't sorted out your salah? For real? 1400 years? You haven't sorted out your salah? But it makes you feel good, doesn't it? We can run down the other person. And that's your scope. And that's your vision. And this is why that's your in the state that you're in. Because the reality is, this is a reality. You know that you can't deal with the issues outside. You can't deal with the issues outside because you have no vision. The vast majority of the Jummah khutbahs, you know, are upon these kind of issues. I'm not saying, look, I'm not saying that person doesn't need to learn his salah. You need to learn your salah. But for years, that's what you see youngsters is bickering upon. For years, 1400 years, and you haven't sorted out your salah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the Sahaba a vision that they became the superpower of the day. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum didn't have huge masjids like this. The masjid Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was 30 by 35 meters. That's all it was. And after the battle of Khaybar, it was extended a bit more. That's all the size of the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. There was no fancy carpet on the floor. There was no AC. The ceilings barely exceeded the heads of those who prayed within it. There was no firm walls. They were made out of unbaked clay. But the people, the men and the women which emanated from the masajid, they were baked. They were motivated. Small masjid like the masjid of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam changed the landscape of half of the world. Why? Why? Because people had a vision. People were motivated. You look at that, the Sahaba knew the virtue of salah in Mecca and Medina, but how many of them died in Mecca and Medina? The vast majority of the Sahaba couldn't even, they couldn't even read and write. But you, I ask you a question. Can any sheikh today say that he knew tafsir better than the Sahaba radiallahu anhum? No, because they lived it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَحْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبَلَنَا. those who make an effort in our path. We will show them the path. We will guide them to the path. But you got to have a vision. You got to be motivated. And all day, you know, we talk about Iraq. We talk about Afghanistan. We talk about Syria. We talk about Palestine. But what do we actually do for the movements? What do we actually do? How much time do we spend? We want to revolutionize the world. We want to revolutionize the world, but me and you, we can't wake up for the Fajr Salah. And I'm not saying you can't speak about these issues if you don't pray the Fajr Salah, but in Islam, you have a thing called priorities. The help of Allah descends upon people's actions. When Umar ibn Khattab sent Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu on the Battle of Qadisiyah, this was the battle between the Muslims and the superpower of the day. What did Umar radiallahu anhu say to Sa'd? He said, "Oh Sa'd, let me tell you that the vast majority of people who lose battles is not because of numbers or their weapons, but it's because they begin to sin. It's because of their actions." And this is what we need today. We need brothers and sisters who are motivated for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who have a vision, who are motivated, you know, who have a concern, but that motivation must start from yourself. What vision do you have for yourself? What vision do you have for yourself? If you are coming to the masjid, where do you want to be in 5 years? Where do you want to be in 10 years? If you don't know Arabic, don't you want to understand the Quran when you sit in the masajid? So what's your vision? You've been so-called practicing for the last 10 years, but you haven't learned the Arabic language. Why? Why haven't you at least endeavored? All you need to do is take one class a week. One class a week. What's your vision? Let me ask you, what's your vision for your children? If your child, 1 year, even if he's still in the mother's stomach, what's your vision? Where do you want your child to be when he's at the age of 6? Where do you want your child to be when he's at the age of 10? When he's at the age of 14? When he's at the age of 16? Have you ever thought about it? Or we just send him to school, that's it. As long as he got a good, goes to a good school, yeah, that's it, reasonable school. Islamically, what vision do you have for that child? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, he said, "Do not kill your children min khashyat al-amlaq," due to the fear of that of poverty. Do not kill your children due to the fear of poverty. Let me tell you, if you kill your child, like the Arabs, you know, they had some of them, they would bury their child alive or for other reasons, and you killed your child because of the fear of poverty, that's obviously haram. You're answerable in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But inshallah, your child will go to Jannah. Your child will go to Jannah. But if you spiritually kill your child, that you've never spent any time with that child, you never had a vision for that child, you never sat with the child, you never sat with that child, the TV spent more time with your child than you did. Why? Because your vision was that you wanted a bigger car. You wanted a bigger house. You wanted a bigger bank balance. And you have deprived that child. You have spiritually killed that child. Then your sin is worse than that person who physically killed that child. Do you know why? Because that child was physically killed will inshallah go to Jannah. But you have raped that child. And you have destroyed that child's eternal life. So I ask you, what's your vision for your children? Have you ever thought about it? Which your children go to the maktab? Many of us have a dunyavi vision for our child. We want the child to go to a good secondary school. You want the child to go to university. But the child comes for 6 years to the masjid, to the maktab, and never do we sit with the child and say, what did you learn in the masjid? What did you learn in the masjid? What did they teach you? For 6 years, 8 years, the child comes to the masjid and you have never gone to ask the imam sahab, what did you teach my child? You have never sat with your child at night time and told him any stories about the Prophet ﷺ or the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, which could have created a holistic human being. No, but you allowed the child to vegetate in front of the TV set. And this is why we have the issues within our community. 5%, Muslims 5%, 12% in prison. 5% and 12% in prison, because we fail when it comes to a vision for our children. We fail when it comes to a vision, it's a reality. We fail when it comes to a vision with our masajid. We can make these, and I'm not having to go at this masjid, I'm just speaking generally, all over England. I don't know what this masjid is, like alhamdulillah, there's a good attendance, but generally, 99% of our masajid, million pound structures, open half an hour before salah, close half an hour after salah. And that's it. And let me tell you the vision of the first masjid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ بَيْتٍ وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ لَلَّذِي بِبَكَّةَ مُبَارَكًا وَهُدًى لِلْعَالَمِينَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the first house which was created in Mecca, وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ Subhanallah, Allah says it was placed for humanity, that humanity must experience the khair which emanates from it. And it has two qualities. That is the source of guidance and the source of barakah lil alameen. Allah didn't say lil Makkah. He didn't say lil Hijaz. He said lil alameen. And any masjid which is created on the model of the first masjid, it must have these qualities. And you look at the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it had these qualities. It was a source of barakah. And it was a source of guidance for humanity. Guidance emanated from this masjid. So as far as our masajid are concerned, you know, we failed. It's true. And this is why as believers, talk now must be translated into a vision, into motivation, into aspirations. If you are spending, you know, hours speaking about the issues of the Muslims globally, but you're doing nothing, then you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. You'd rather read some Quran and do some dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pray some nawafil, because all you're doing is frustrating yourself. All you're doing, you're frustrating yourself. So we have a heritage. You know, we have a heritage of Islam. Let me tell you a story. How people translate. You know, we speak about Palestine. We have a conference in Birmingham tomorrow about Palestine. Sheikh Haytham is there as well. Let me tell you, when we first went to Gaza after the 2008 and 2009 attacks upon Gaza, we went on the first Viva Palestina convoy. We came back and we wanted to do something. So what we decided is that we were going to open a shop in Birmingham, called Viva Palestina, alhamdulillah, it's open in the Coventry Road, where all the proceeds go to the Palestinian cause, and also, it's a permanent billboard for the Palestinian cause. So I thought, let me see if there's anybody else in England who's doing something similar. So I found a shop in Edinburgh, where all the proceeds go to the Palestinian cause. So I flew up to Edinburgh and I told the taxi driver, I said, take me to this address. So this taxi driver takes me and he parks outside a church. He parks outside the church and I thought, hold on, this sounds a bit dodgy. Is this a kind of, you know, a missionary campaign? Are they trying to convert me or something? So I said, you sure you got the right address? He said, that's the address you gave me. So I went inside this church. And inside this church, they had a shop where every penny that they made went to assist the Palestinians. Today, half of the masajid, you ask them, can we give a talk on Palestine? Oh, the topic's too hot. But that is the state of the Muslim community. It's true, isn't it? You have inadequate people running the masajid, so they don't know how to deal with issues. Oh, can't call that sheikh. He speaks about Iraq. What is he speaking about? He's speaking about the blood of believers. He's speaking about Guantanamo Bay. Oh, we can't touch him. He's too hot. What do you mean he's too hot? You seen sheikh in a miniskirt? What do you mean he's too hot? But see, this is cowardice. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ, he took refuge from what? He took refuge from ids. That you feel incapacitated, like Sheikh spoke about. Wal kasl, laziness. Wal jubun, you're scared. You're scared. You know, from cowardice. Muslims are not meant to be cowards. Muslims are meant to be motivated people, you know, who are motivated for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what the deen shows us. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because you know, me and all of you are going to expire. So we might as well aspire before we expire. We might as well do something. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he speaks, he says in the Quran, وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحًا فَالْمُورِيَاتِ قَدْحًا فَالْمُغِرَاتِ صُبْحًا. He speaks about the horses. Subhanallah. He speaks about the horses in jihad. He says, وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحًا. He says, those horses which run in the morning in the jihad, in the battlefield, and when they run, they pant. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about those horses, when they run in the morning, they run, and they run so with so much vigor in the jihad, in the battlefield, that they make sparks fly up. And then what do? فَالْمُغِرَاتِ صُبْحًا. And they attack the enemy in the morning. فَأَثَرْنَا بِهِ نَقْعًا فَوَسَطْنَا بِهِ جَمْعًا فَإِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودٌ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when they run with so much vigor in the battlefield that they make the death fly up. And when they attack the enemy, they don't attack in the side. They attack right in the middle. They go in the midst. And then directly after mentioning the horses of jihad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, man is unto his Lord ungrateful. Why does Allah say this? Because Allah is giving a comparison that a person gives the horse some fodder, he gives it something to eat, and that horse is ready to die for its master. And Allah, the Khalik, the Malik, the Razik, who brought us out into existence when we did not exist, and we forget Allah? The only time we have for Allah is half an hour in Jummah. We have no time to teach our children. We're busy. We leave our children like they're yatims. As Imam Shawki says, إِنَّ الْيَتِيمُ هُوَ الَّذِي تَرَى لَهُ أُمَّنْ تَخَلَّتْ أَوْ أَبًا مَشْغُولٌ. He says, a yatim is not necessarily that person whose father is dead. He says, a yatim is that person whose mother has forsaken her duties to a child. She's too busy. She's watching drama on TV. She's got no time for the child. She's on the phone. And the child is vegetating in front of the TV. Oh, aban mashghul. Or the father is too busy. The father is aspiring, but he's aspiring for the dunya. And this is why, you know, we need people who have aspiration, but not just bold and raw aspirations, but people who have a scope. People who can assess the situation. Because we have many youngsters, mashallah, who have a lot of get up and go, but they don't have any isabatu rai. They don't have any vision. They can't assess the situation. So what do? They get themselves in trouble, And they get all the community in trouble. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu was on the battlefield. And a man called Anush Jan, he was a Persian. He said, if Khalid is man enough to come and fight me, let him come and fight me. So Khalid radiallahu anhu came forward to the battlefield. And Khalid radiallahu anhu said to Anush Jan, he said, you're full of yourself, aren't you? And Anush Jan said, why shouldn't I be? I am the mightiest warrior amongst the Persians, the superpower of the day. And then Khalid radiallahu anhu said to him, then aren't mighty and brave men also meant to be intelligent? And he said, I'm known for my intelligence as well. Then Khalid radiallahu anhu said, if you're an intelligent man, then tell me, how do you worship fire? How do you worship fire? So Anush Jan said, listen, I haven't come here for a theological debate. So Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu said to him, it was an obligation for me to convey the message to you so that on the day of judgment, you don't say the message did not reach you. Now, 1400 years ago, Khalid bin Walid defined a man. And this is what the ulama call Rajulun Kamil. He must have, or she must have, two qualities. One, that they're brave. They're motivated. Sorry, they're brave. And they're motivated. They have some pluck. They have some bottle. But not only that. If they just have that quality and don't have any intelligence, then the ulama write that this is half a man. And the other one, he has isabatul rai. He can assess the situation. He knows what's wrong. But he's not got any bottle to do anything about it. He's got no motivation. He's got no aspiration. The ulama say he's a half a man as well. And they say, you know, the rajulun kamil, a full man, a complete man, is he who has both of these qualities. He has both of these qualities. That he's brave, he's motivated, but he can also, his intelligence. He can assess the situation. And this is what we need. We need brothers and sisters who have a scope, who want to make a change, who are inspired for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who have some aspirations. Because believe it or not, all of us are going to leave this dunya. And the only thing that we are going to take from this dunya are our actions. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لَا تَنْصَى نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Do not forget your portion of this dunya. Let me ask you a question. Is your coffin going to have pockets? Is your coffin going to have pockets? What are you going to take with you? What are you going to take with you? The only thing that me and you are taking with us is our actions. And therefore, it's important that we, you know, do something for the community. We have high aspirations. We have high aspirations. And even if we don't reach those aspirations, we will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want to leave something behind us that when we lie 6 feet under the ground, we are still getting reward for what we did because we had that aspiration. And that's what we want to be. And subhanAllah, there's so many of us. There's so many of us. If just some people could get motivated. But that motivation must start from yourself. It must start from yourself. It's futile talking about changing the world when you can't change yourself. There was a story of a man who came home. And he comes from work and he's tired. And his son wants to play with him. Young son wants to play with him. And he's tired and he wants to have some cup of tea, put his feet up. So what he does, he sees this paper and he sees a picture of the world on this paper. So he tears this paper up. And he says, listen, put this world together. Finish this and then I'll play with you. So he thinks that, you know, this is going to take the child quite a bit of time. All this world, he tears it up. The child comes back in a matter of minutes and he's put it all together. And he's shocked. And he says to the child, he said, how did you manage to do it so quickly? So the child says, he turns the paper up the other way around. He said, Daddy, on the other side there was a picture of a man. I put the man right and the world came right itself. You want to make a change? It starts from home. It starts from you. But it must be transitive. We are not people. I often say the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they were people who were made by the masjids. But they were not made for the masjids. Are not made only for the masjids. Today, me and you, the little that we are made by the masjids for only the masjids. Nobody outside the four walls of the masjid sees any good that we do. Nobody sees it. So we want to be people, you know, who do an action which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'll finish off on a story. My time is up. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that from the people before, there were three people who were going on a journey. And whilst they're going on this journey, it begins to rain. So they take shelter in a cave. And whilst they're taking shelter in the cave, a rock comes down and it covers the mouth of the cave. So they begin to push the rock, but the rock doesn't move. Then they decide, they're tired, they're exhausted, and they decide now to lie down and, you know, death befalls them. And then one of them stood up and he said, oh Allah, I had elderly parents. And what I would do every night before I would go to sleep is that I would give my parents milk to drink. One day I went to look for fodder and I went further than I normally do. And by the time I came back, my elderly parents had gone to sleep. And my children were still awake, they were hungry, but I didn't feel it befitting that I feed my children before I feed my parents. So I told my wife to put the children to sleep and she put them to sleep hungry. And I stood by the bed of my parents with the bowl. And when they woke up in the morning, I gave them the milk. He said, oh Allah, if you know that I done this action solely for your sake, then move the rock. And the rock moves a bit, but not enough for them to come out. And then the second man stands up. And he says, oh Allah, I had a cousin and I was infatuated with this cousin of mine. There was no woman on the face of this earth that I loved more than this cousin. And I had made a move on her many times, but every time she turned me down. But one day she was in desperate need of money and she came to me. And I said, on the condition that you allow me to have a relationship with you. You allow me to have a relationship with you. And she agreed because she was in desperate need of the money. And he said, just when I was about to have a relationship, she said to me, ittaqillah. She said, fear Allah. Fear Allah. Do not break the seal unless you are the rightful owner, meaning the husband. She said, when she said this, the fear of Allah permeated my heart and I moved back. I moved back and I gave her the money. And he said, oh Allah, if you know that I did this solely for your sake, then remove the rock. And the rock moved, but not enough for them to come out. And then the third person stood up and he said, oh Allah, I hired a group of people. And when it came to the end of the day, one of the people, he didn't collect his wages. So I invested his wages until there was a whole valley of cattle and livestock. That's how much it grew. And one day this man came to me and he said, I'm desperately in need of that day's wages. And I took him to the valley and I said, you see all this? This belongs to you. And he said, you're having a laugh. He said, I'm desperately in need. Don't joke with me. He said, I invested that day's wages and this is how it mushroomed. All this is yours. And he said, oh Allah, if you know that I done this deed and this action solely for your sake, then remove the rock. And the rock moved and all three of them came out. All three of them came out. I ask yourself, and I ask myself, if me and you were the fourth person in that cave, by what action that we've done in our life would we ask Allah to remove the rock? And if we haven't, then we need to aspire before our time is up. We need to make a change. We need to work within our communities. We need to make our Muslim our masajid vibrant. We need to become educated. We need to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our focus. Whatever we do, our businesses, as a community, we need to be united. We need to throw away these trivial issues. You know, the issues which divide us, and there are many things which unite us, and we need to become strong as a community. Motivated for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have a vision for yourself and have a vision for your children. It doesn't necessarily mean that you change the world overnight. No. If every single person's home, every single person's home, you had an Islamic ethos in it, you brought up your children in a good manner, children who feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we would have a strong community. We would have a strong community. So we endeavor and we aspire to do something. You know, when on the day of judgment, when we stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that maybe just because of that action, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to go into Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who aspire for His sake. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who, whatever we do, it is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our children people of piety. May Allah make us people of piety. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala restore within this ummah the greatness that they once had. And may Allah keep us united in dunya and reunite us in Jannah al-Firdaws. Jazakum Allah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Brother, just one announcement, please. There are some brothers. There's only one brother from England who's still remaining Guantanamo Bay, Brother Amir Shakir. They have a petition outside. Please, all the brothers, please do sign it. I mean, he had no trial. He's not been convicted of anything. And he's a brother in need. Let me tell you a story. Sheikh mentioned earlier on, and it occurred to me. In the time of Umar ibn Abdulaziz, there was one Muslim prisoner, and Sheikh mentioned Umar ibn Abdulaziz, rahmatullah alayh, there was one Muslim prisoner who was slapped in the Byzantine lands. And the news reached Umar ibn Abdulaziz that this Muslim had been slapped in the Byzantine lands. And Umar was the Khalifa of his time. And Umar, rahmatullah alayh, sent a letter to the Roman governor. And he said, before you put this letter down, free that Muslim prisoner. For I swear by Allah, I will send an army which begins here and ends where you are. So, we remember him. Why? Because of what he did for the ummah. And if we can't sign a petition, then there is something seriously wrong with us. Because wallahi, there's no guarantee that you may not be in his position tomorrow. Or I may be in his position tomorrow. And then you will cry for the ummah. Then you will cry, you will say, where are the Muslims? So let's change. As I say, little changes. Let's change that talk into action. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.